Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I don't think I ever even saw a baby in public. And then I had a baby. I'm like, there's so many babies.
I just have like a baby radar.
Like
now.
A gaydar. I can tell a person's a baby. Yeah. When the humans are small like that, it's a baby.
I think you've roasted gender reveals.
It's just too much. We're doing too much, man.
Did you guys have a gender reveal for your baby?
We did, is the sick part. My grandma was like the funniest Southern Baptist woman. She's the type like you get a tattoo, you're dead to me. Like that.
Yeah. Honestly, they should be the most feared demographic. That's my grandma. I'm terrified.
Have to be careful.
She called him a narcissist once.
We probably are, actually. Yeah.
What's up, dudes? And welcome back to the Unplanned Podcast.
We're the only people that ever do that to open up their content.
It's just like so cool. So we like to say it, you know, just to have.
No,
like
for
a
sure.
Really,
I never. I thought, you know, like, how are they going to start this thing? And that blew the line. So
What up? Today we are joined by Trey Kennedy. Trey is a comedian as well as a social media content creator.
He's known for
He's known for making clean comedy, and he's currently on tour, and he's actually performing in Phoenix tonight. So we're going to a show, and we're having him on the podcast.
Good,
so
Trey, y'all are gonna make it. We're gonna come.
We've been looking forward to this.
Good,
give it up for Trey Kennedy, everybody.
Thanks for having me. I'm honored to be here. You said first comedian on this podcast.
You're the first comedian.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Beautiful home. I'm glad y'all can make it to the show.
Thank you.
I'm so excited.
I just say content creator, not influencer. Do y'all not like the influencer word, or do you care?
That's a good question. I think I like content creator more because it like shows that you're adding value to the platforms. You're more of a storyteller, and I feel like influencer can have more of the idea of, oh, they just got there without even having to work for it. You know what I'm saying?
Influencer makes me think of like beauty or the Kardashians.
Right.
There's not a lot in common with me and the Kardashians.
There's not?
No.
Not even one?
Especially the booty.
You're a lot more white than they are. They're good people. I don't know. The influencer, it's funny. I just try to embrace it, you know?
Your influencer?
Whatever you want to call me.
Love that.
At this point, there's no shame when you've been doing it long enough.
I know. Yeah, when did you start?
I made my first viral video like 10 and a half years ago on Vine.
Wow.
So that's kind of crazy.
You're OG influencer then.
You've been around for a minute.
OG.
Then.
But before, influencer was not a word when I made that first viral video.
Wow.
So I was just like Viner, Vine famous, internet guy, Instagrammer. And then influencer started coming around. Because influencer got weird too. And still to this day, if you say it, people roll their eyes and then they see you. Because influencer, they're picturing 9,000 followers. You're just kind of the scum of the earth. You want free things.
Yeah.
It's a career now.
Yeah, I think maybe the word influencer for me, it sounds like it has a stereotype of being so entitled or, I don't know, something like that.
It's that too many people went into like hotels in New York City and they're like, I'm an influencer. I'll tag you. Will you let me stay here?
Right,
and they're
right.
Leave immediately.
I'm like, I don't know if I want to.
But you guys do have to tag me in your story tonight in return for
we
the
will
tickets.
Definitely tag you tonight.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, yes.
Of course.
Of course.
Trey, I'm so curious. It's 2023. You're a comedian. How do you not get canceled in a climate where I feel like people are so easily offended?
You know, I've never pushed the boundaries too much. You know, like you said, clean comedian. I like to, I'm not trying to rub anyone the wrong way, but it's still out there. I think the crazy cancel culture couple of years feels like we've come out of that and people are exhausted by it and they don't care as much. I kind of feel very free to say whatever I want now.
Oh, really?
That's good.
Yeah. I think I'm lucky to be, as we were just talking about, like you guys do more of your like, the content creation, vloggy, that. I think you're an easy target, unfortunately.
Do they even love each other? Were their moms raising their kids? Or they,
you know.
Right, right.
The first time Katie, my wife, was on my podcast, they're like, yeah, I can tell he abuses her. I was like, what did I do?
Oh my God.
I only hit her once on the podcast. And it's like... People, they just make stuff up. But then I think they see comedian, it's just jokes. I think people just kind of like, we either think it's funny or it's not, and we move on versus like, what did he...
They know what they're coming for.
Right,
more.
I think. So I think I'm lucky because I see people like y'all or a lot of people killing it, getting tons of followers and views, and just everyone has an opinion. I'm like, man, I'm over here chilling. I don't think people... They don't bother me. So.
Well, a big thing about your content is it is clean content. Has it always been clean?
Always been clean. I was raised very... sheltered, like good Oklahoma kids. So when I was first making it, when I was like 19, I couldn't have fathomed putting something on the internet like my mom would see.
Yeah.
That, you know, she would have been appalled. And then, you know, that leads to like opportunities because brands want to hire people with a clean image. And then I had more and more fans appreciate that. And it is ingrained in me too. So now, yeah, I'm clean for life. I like the challenge of trying to be funny and clean.
That's really impressive because I feel like it's easier to make comedy when you're talking about more raunchy things. And so to be creative enough to actually be funny and not have to go to that is impressive.
Thanks. Yeah. It's, I think people, a lot of people would agree with that. You know, I mean, all those more R-rated comedians or edgy people, you know, they have a certain audience for that people love and appreciate, and they get, you know, it has its own difficulties. But yeah, I think I invite a very, very different audience that, you know, they'd go see Bill Burr, who's like everyone agrees the best comedian alive, and they like, my mother would be appalled if she saw Bill Burr. You know, it's like those people exist where they need the clean comedian, so I'm happy to do that. So it's fun.
That's awesome. Do you think like other comedians in your space view you differently or interact with you differently because of that, or not really?
No, not really. I think there is I think most comedians would agree, like being clean is a thing. So many comedians would be like, that's not even something I've tried to do. Like, I don't even know how to do that. So I think people respect it. And when you're raised in it and it's like to my core, it's like I'm sitting there writing just crazy stuff. Like, I can't say this. It's horrible. Like, what comes out of me is mainly clean.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just how
that's
I was
like
raised.
Us, I feel like.
Yeah, we were on a cruise ship like 6 months ago, and we were at the, or I think I was there. You were actually sick on the cruise ship.
Right.
And I was by myself at this comedy show with our friends, and the comedian was doing like the adult comedy show, but he's also the comedian that does all the other comedy shows on the cruise ship. So the other ones were family friendly, but this one was the adult comedy show.
He lets it fly.
So he was trying to like, you know, make more adult jokes. But then even for him, I was like, man, you're just like, you're the family comedian. And he was like dropping some F-bombs. And I'm like, that just didn't feel right.
That's
like,
just when confusing.
I'm just confused now.
You've been out there all week.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like the cruise ship hired you because you're a clean comedian.
There had to have been a number of like sweet moms in the audience who were like, we saw him last night. He's fantastic. You got to see him. And he's just like, oh my, this is not what he used to say.
Yeah.
They start crying.
So I can totally see where you're like, that's just not me. Like, you know, just being yourself in the comedy that you create.
Yeah. They're all, do you guys know who Whitney Cummings is?
Whitney Cummings.
She's a big comedian. She's been doing it for years. Very funny, very successful, but very R-rated. Uh-huh. I remember one time I went to a concert with my mom. It was like a John Legend, and there was a surprise opening set from Whitney Cummings.
Oh,
and
okay.
Like, it's funny, but I'm with my mom who like won't watch an R-rated movie, and she starts going, it's like, oh my gosh. Like,
did you just get headphones for her?
Yeah, exactly. Like, mom, I'm sorry. This is not funny.
Trey, at what age were you allowed to watch R-rated movies?
Never. I mean, that was never. To this day, my parents will be like, I'm the classic guy where like, did you see this movie? Did you see that movie? I always say no. I'm like, what? You didn't see that movie? I'm like, my mom was so picky on movies that we just basically wrote off movies. She's
Travel.
Like, it has to be PG or G. It can't be sad.
Yeah.
It can't incite crying. It can't have any kind of like love scene. It was like Finding Nemo, and we watched The Rookie like 12 times. Remember that one? Dennis Quaid.
Sweet.
I will say it is awkward if you're watching.
I've never seen that one actually.
Now that we're adults, it is pretty awkward if you're like with your parents and you're watching like an actual rated R movie.
What were we watching? My
and
dad.
And then a scene comes on, and you're like, "Oh my god,
I don't even know what they're doing."
And you just kind of turn away. You're just like, "This is so weird. Like my parents are here." It's not weird with your spouse. So you're just like, "Yeah, like we'll watch like an R-rated movie." You know,
what
here,
were we watching
here, there,
with
you know?
My dad the other day? And I was like, "We gotta."
Yeah, there was definitely a sex scene, and
I was
just
like, "What the?"
It was uncomfy. Mm-hmm.
Do your parents go to your shows often?
They're actually gonna be here tonight in Phoenix.
Wait, what? Do we get
no
to
way?
Yeah, probably.
Wait, that's
they're,
so cool.
They just so happened, you know, they're empty nesters living their best life. My dad's retiring, so they were doing a week in Sedona, and then we announced the show in Phoenix. It's like, wow, well,
that's
stay
awesome.
Extra days the show.
Sweet.
So they don't come to home. They don't fly around going to my
they
shows.
They just tour with you.
You know, no, they they're very supportive. They grab a handful of shows, especially the ones near where they live. But yeah, they're gonna be here tonight, and it's funny because I talk about them, and I'll after the show, and again, it's clean, but still, I'm talking about true things, my experiences. So I'm always like, I was like, Mom, I'm trying to be respectful. Did anything I say like offend you? I want to be respectful. And then she starts critiquing like my entire set. She's like, well, there was one part I thought was a little over. No, I was like, I'm just talking about when I'm talking about you. I'm like, I'm not getting approval on the
rest. Isolated to what pertains to you.
Like, oh yeah, I love when you talk about me, please.
That's so funny.
Is that hard now that you're a dad? And, you know, obviously, yeah, you're married. You have a 7-month-old, right?
Yeah.
A boy. Congratulations, by the way. That's super exciting that you're a father now. How is that being on tour? Because you're going to how many different locations to do these comedy shows?
Yeah, it's tough. We tried to schedule it where, so I on average, I go out like every other weekend.
Okay.
Maybe like 3 or 4 cities at a time. So I'm home mainly is the goal, but... Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a thing where early on, he was a few months old, like getting out was like kind of awesome. You guys, you know, mm-hmm. you miss them. You're like, I'm sleeping at night. Oh my, it's exhausting. And then they get, you know, every day is more fun. He's interacting, he's smiling, and it really stinks to leave them. So I don't know what it looks like. Because I'm loving doing this and it's great. I can't believe I get to do this. I never even thought I'd do this, but I don't know. We're just trying to get through the balancing it. And she gets out with the baby sometimes. That is the worst part by far. I mean,
sucks. Yeah, because you're doing what you love. But then also as a family man, you're like, I want to be there with my wife and kids. So that,
yeah, man.
That has to be like pulling your heart in like 2 directions at once.
Always. And it's, I mean, we want more kids. You know, we just have the one. And so we're up to this. We announced more dates into 2024. And by... You know, I think we're just going to keep assessing, and we're dreaming of a day when we have like several 5, 6, you know, 3-year-olds, and it's easier to take them like on a tour bus, and you're like, how fun is this? You know, but you know, you guys get the baby life. It's like, it's not worth it carting around beds and milk and she's nursing on a plane, and we've done it a lot, but it's tough. He's already been to like... some 15 states in 7 months.
That's checking them off, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a certain strategy for when you go on a plane with your kid?
Oh, we got a doubt, especially Katie, my wife. She's a pro. She like has a whole system. We got the Duna. You guys have that?
Oh, yes. The Duna.
I mean, people, yes. It's so fun to wheel that around. You get so much attention. Fellow Duna owners are like, I see you.
No, but that's then the Duna. Have you ever had this happen? The older people are like, they didn't make those when we were having babies.
It's like such a dad flex. You walk in a restaurant with the Duna as a stroller, and like we like to sit down. Like, we have no strollers. You're just like, bam.
Look at this into transformer. The car seat.
Yeah, and this 50-year-old woman's like, what? What? They didn't have this when I was a mom, you know, back in the day. So. Right. We have that, collapse it down, get them out, put it through security. We gate check it, get them on there. Mm-hmm. She's got her cover. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, but, and I don't know if you feel this way, Abby, too. Like the public nursing early on, she's very modest. She's like, we would find like a corner of the airport and like dark, and she would cover, and I'd like block her. And now, I mean, now she's just, we're like driving, I got a truck stock, she'll just whip it out.
You know? It's worse with consecutive babies. I will tell you,
just like, whatever.
I was literally at the farm yesterday, and I was like, it was so hot, he was like sweating already. I was like, I'm not getting a freaking cover out. And I was just like, hopefully everyone can be respectful enough just to look away.
Please don't look. Please. Yeah, she used to. Every time she nursed him in our living room, it'd be like, draw the blinds. Now she's like in the front yard. I'm like, okay, let's... Okay.
See, I was the one drawing the blinds because Abby, she just forgets that people can see through a window.
If I'm in my own house, that's on... Like, I don't expect to have... I'm not catering towards peeping Toms.
We had this problem in Hawaii because in Hawaii, we had all these big windows and Abby would just like change. And I'm like, Abby, like, our neighbors... All the houses in Hawaii are like a foot apart. I'm like, literally the whole neighborhood can see you and see you changing. Like, we should probably put the blinds down, you know?
It's my house.
Your house. Don't look.
Do you guys have the inflatable like bed? I know there's like a little like inflatable bassinet you can put on the seat.
In the plane?
Yeah, in the plane.
We did look into that. We didn't pull the trigger on that, but
he's still little.
He's little enough. Yeah. He's not fully doing that. We did too, like, you know, I get on how many hundreds of flights a year. So I always try to like, we don't need to buy it. We would do the lap thing.
Right,
because
you need a separate seat then.
Yeah, we'd finally started being like, okay, I have status. I have the points. We're getting his own seat.
He gets his own seat?
A lot of the time. Hey. So it's like you get the car seat in there. I mean, you talk about an absolute game changer.
That's beautiful.
So there's,
Wow. Griffin's never had his own seat.
So your kid just sleeps the whole flight?
I mean, yes and no. We trust me, we did 30 flights before we started buying his own seat. And then he gets big enough and he's long and you're like trying not to bump this person. Yeah. I was like, Katie, yeah, you're flying out by yourself to come to these shows. Just get a two seats.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Make your life easier.
We had this situation where this we were seated in different seats on the plane.
And we were separated.
We were separated and we were trying to sit by each other, but this lady was not wanting to switch. And it was like a really
with
easy
the baby.
Oh no, our baby didn't have a seat. We just wanted to sit next to each other.
But
so
you
like,
had it. Yeah. She's like, let us
Abby could breastfeed and we could be next to each other.
Okay. We gotta set the scene a little bit more. It was moving from one middle seat to the middle seat in the row back, and she was traveling alone and she hadn't sat down yet. But she was just like, I'd rather not.
And we were just like, hey, I know that I'm sitting in your middle seat right now, but would you mind switching with me in the middle seat directly in front of me? And she didn't want to. And then everyone on the plane
moved around.
They all moved around to accommodate us because this one lady wouldn't accommodate.
She just stood her ground.
Some new parents. And, you know, I mean, she has the right to do that, I guess. But it was cool that, like, everyone on the plane, like, came together for us. It was really, it was really sweet.
You learn that when you travel with a baby of, like, you either, it's a love hate. People look at you like, why did you leave the house with that thing?
Yes.
Like, shut it up. Or people get it and they're like, how can we help?
Yes.
Like they're like, when she flies solo, she says she'll get bad looks, then she'll also get people being like, let me help you carry that, you know, we're here.
So that is sweet, because there is judgment too when you take a baby outside the house. You're like, you need to keep that thing home. Today's sponsor is one of our favorite baby brands, Dreamland Baby. We use their dream weighted sleep sack literally every single night and for every single nap for both of our boys.
Our youngest has used it his whole entire life. And then our oldest, I think, started at like the 2 month mark.
And they've once been, we had it, we noticed a difference.
Oh yeah, they've been great.
Yeah, and it's kind of giving them that sensation of being like hugged. And because they're gently weighted on the top, there's nothing on the bottom restricting them, so they can still move around. Like our oldest can stand up in it, walk around. They can roll in them, but it just makes them feel like they're getting a hug.
Yeah, and that's why we give them out as gifts. So if we hear of a new parent, you know, that's having a baby, we're like, hey, here's a Dreamland sleep sack.
We're like, you need this because it helps babies fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. They have a two-way zipper that's great for middle of the night diaper changes. We cannot give them a more genuine endorsement. We love Dreamland Baby sleep sack. So if you have a baby, or if your friend or family member has a baby and they don't have one of these, give them the gift of sleep this season and get them a Dreamland Baby. And it's the perfect time because Dreamland Baby is having their biggest sale of the year. Go to dreamlandbabyco.com and enter unplannedbogo23 at checkout for the buy one, get one free weighted products deal. This is a great way to stock up on Dreamland Baby products or to give as a holiday gift. That's code unplannedbogo23 for the buy one, get one free weighted product deal.
Let's go.
Check it out.
Thank you, Dreamland. Now back to the episode.
Did y'all do this before you had kids? I don't think I ever even saw a baby in public. And then I had a baby. I'm like, there's so many babies around. You just block them out until you have
really
one
true.
And appreciate it.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, there's so many babies. Wow, this is awesome.
Actually, that happened to us like right after we had our first. We were driving the Target parking lot and there was two like little toddlers crossing the street and Matt goes, aww.
Right.
And
you don't do that until you have a kid.
Never done that.
Never.
Ever.
Never.
And I was like, wait, are you starting to like notice other little people now?
I just have like a baby radar now. I see a baby. I'm like, that's very true. So sweet. Look at that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at that little family. But before, I just never even did that.
They didn't exist.
It's like becoming a dad makes you a softy in a way, you know?
Yeah, you have a new radar. As I hear like a gay dart, but gay people, they're like, they can pick it out easy.
Yes.
It's like you become like, I can tell that person's a baby. Yeah. I have one.
I can tell that person's a baby.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I tell them I have one and because I see the baby. That is, when the humans are small like that, it's a baby.
Yeah. That's what I have.
Or when you see guys, you're like, that person's a dad. You can tell.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe women in general, it's like a little bit harder because maybe they're nurturing already. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. They are. But yeah, women always love the babies and stuff. But yeah, us guys, don't even pay attention at all.
Just a little bit.
What's been the best thing about being a dad and the most challenging thing about being a dad?
The best is, man, it's... When we were like prepping to have a kid, my friends who were parents, you know, because they just talk it up. And it would annoy me. You know, they'd be like, it's the greatest gift. You just don't know until you know. You don't. And it's the only way to describe it, which is annoying, but it's hard to articulate it. Like I was sitting in our living room 2 days ago and he's just repeatedly just looking at me like, you know, cheesing for no reason. And it's just what it does to your insides. You're like, oh my, yeah, that's the whole, I'll never forget when he was probably 6-ish weeks, you know, and if you don't know this, babies can't smile for like 2 months. I didn't know that. And you're just doing it. You're going through it and it's good. It's good. And then the sleep deprivation sets in. It's exhausting. Yeah. And there was one night I was like, I'm done. I mean, I think I want to, I'm done with this guy. You know, you have those horrible thoughts. You're like, I can't.
I think he's got to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you put him back? How does that work? But then 3 a.m, and the first time he looks up and just smiles.
Aww.
And, like, and you're just like, don't care anymore. You're like, this is the best thing.
Sweet.
That's probably the best way I could describe it. But
have you made him laugh yet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Some months he's a laughing. He is. You do this too, where you're like, my baby's the best, right? It's somehow.
Oh, of course.
They're like little. They're measuring him. I'm like, he's the tallest and biggest baby, right?
Right.
Like, why does that matter? But but he seems to be an unusually smiley, happy, giggling, laughing. So he's a lot of fun. But yeah, it's been the best thing, and sometimes the worst thing, and like all. It's just the most rewarding. Makes life so much richer. See my friends hold my son and my parents hold my son, you know.
Are there a lot of babies in the family?
Not yet. I have one sister who has a baby just a few months older. So 2 on my side. My wife has 4 brothers and they just have 1 older with like another on the way. So we're about to have 3 nieces and nephews, but
wow.
All my friends are pregnant. It's very much where, I mean, in the next 5 years, I'm going to have 30 babies in my life.
Wow. With
friends and family. I mean, it's happening quick.
I've noticed
that's amazing.
I've noticed in your comedy too, you do a lot of like baby skits where you have like, it's like you're pretending to be the baby with like the monitor on you. And
right.
I think it's hilarious because it's so relatable as a dad. I just can totally relate to like the second that you try to get something done, then that's when the kid wakes up. Or I don't know. My favorite is like as a parent, if we ever try to have any sort of alone time together at all, it's like the second we put our kid down, like then they just start screaming. Like they know. They literally just know.
It's kind of scary.
Has that been a fun journey as a comedian getting to make all these now like dad comedy skits?
Yeah, I mean there is an element of like. Not that I was ever running out of ideas, but you're like, it'd be nice to have some new inspiration, you know,
and
this whole new life experience. And I think so many of my fans and people that come to the shows were parents. So just to flip a switch, now we can relate and just the levels to it. Now I have fans come up and they're like, I have 3 kids in their teens. Like, you don't know what you're talking, you know, or it's just like I've joined the parent group, but I'm a rookie and we have 1 and it's just all these new life experiences. And you know, I do jokes now about like, you know, our friends who don't have kids yet, they talk, you know, you have friends who don't have kids. They're like, we're tired. And you're like, you're not tired.
You don't know.
And so, yeah, it's just a fun new way to relate to my audience. And when I made my content, like all of us is just trying new ideas. And
yeah.
I think I put on a big adult onesie and acted like a baby and it went viral. So I was like, okay, cool. They're on board. There's a lot of people going through the same thing. So.
It's like a universal experience. Like, of course, every baby's different. Every couple going through is different, but that's funny. The one that really got me is like when couples are arguing over who's the most tired.
Oh,
you're tired?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big adjustment. Us getting married wasn't an adjustment for, I don't know. It's you hear like first years.
I feel that.
We're just like in love, best friends, moved in. We just had a blast. But having a kid was our, like, I think first big, nothing crazy, but real big adjustment. We learned real quick some things in each of us were like, okay, we got to communicate here. We got on the same page because you get so tired. And I'd get home from tour without a kid and she'd be rested up, ready to go. And so she'd be like, what do you, you've worked hard, lay down. And now it's like, you come home. I worked harder than you. I took care of this kid all week.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So like,
at least you got time off.
Yeah. She's like, we have a constant argument. I was like, now, listen, I know it's annoying when I go to Florida for shows and I'm like on a boat all day, but it's like I'm so lucky my job's fun. You can't like hold that against me. She's like, I know. Like, what? But still, she gets to a bad point. She's like, you're the one, you're gallivanting around on boats and yachts. I'm like, I'm sorry. That's my job. I'm killing time in Key West.
So,
What do you want me to do?
It's funny because like now as a dad, I went to Nashville to record some music this past week.
Let's go.
Being on a plane by myself, like not having to keep a child alive and, you know, do all the stuff that we do as parents on a plane. I'm like,
mostly keeping them quiet on the plane.
I can just listen to my music and just like take a nap and look out the window. It's just crazy. It's so nice.
Leaving your family. Yeah, I got to be honest. The first like maybe 24 hours, it's like, this is pretty awesome. Like I'm changing diapers. I get to do whatever I want. And then, you know, she sends me a photo of him like you know, on the porch just smiling. You're like, oh, but.
See, I feel like I couldn't get there. Like, I would literally be anxious the entire time.
For 24 hours?
If I were to leave, I would be like, freaking out.
It's mom vibes. Katie has not left. We have a weekend planned next month, and it'll be the first time she's, like, left him for more than, you know, a handful of hours or something. We're going to go do 2 nights and, like, on the beach. Okay. It's like a friend's wedding. Like,
nice.
Our grandparents, you know, one of my parents are going to watch him, and so we'll see how that goes. That's our first time. Wow. How was your first time leaving?
Well, it was to IHOP for like an hour and I cried the whole time.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
But, you know, she's a little bit further along. She might be. Yeah. And plus, like, I will say it does make the alone time so much more special because it's so few and far between. So maybe the initial goodbye will be hard, but
I'm sure.
I bet that pretty soon she'll just be really excited. She'll have quality time again. Yeah.
We did our first babysitter that's not grandma grandpa recently. Wow. And the first like 45 minutes of the dinner, she's like, just, and I was like, it's okay, and it all went great. But yeah, it's tough for the moms. Yeah.
Did you cry the first time that you left your son at
home? No, I didn't. No. I did the second time. The first time we had this set up where I wasn't gonna tour. I had tour dates like when he was like 3 months old, so I was like there being mom and dad, like locked in. But I got a work thing that we kind of couldn't say no to when he was like 4 weeks old.
Oh, gosh.
I was young. And her mom came, like, stayed with her and helped get through those just a few nights. But I'm not going to lie, that 4 week, because you're awake every 2 hours for the first. I went to this nice, like, brand deal trip and slept in a nice hotel. I was like, I didn't share too much with her. I was like, this is, wow, I needed this.
Wow.
But, and then the second time I left, like, he's 3 months old on tour. You know, it's just like you're so in love with them and it's so fun. That one was like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. You know, you do all the things like, is he going to remember who I am?
Right, yeah. Right, right.
Does he know what it's, is he sitting there like, where's my dad's never coming back? You do, you're concerned with these thoughts.
Like,
yeah.
I just wish I could tell them that we're coming back.
Yeah.
That's when that we left.
I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know if they even compute, if they're just like, they blink and I'm like back. And they're just like, oh, that guy's back. I like that guy.
You know, I like that guy.
I don't know.
I mean, when you think about it, like me. I don't know about you, but my first memory is from when I was like 3 years old.
Exactly.
So we're gonna.
So it kind of doesn't matter how you parent them.
Yeah, we've got 2 more years of this kid. 2 more years with our
they
oldest.
They won't remember it.
Yeah, and he won't remember any of it, which is kind of weird. I think he'll remember how he felt.
Tell him that all the time. I'm like, he'll remember how he felt.
They say there's all that science, right? Of like, you know, if you like abandon the kid at the early age for, it's gonna have long term effects.
Yeah.
So I get. But yeah, that is freaky. She's like, let's go out to like the park and do a picnic. He'd like that. And there's an element of like, I don't really care what he likes because he doesn't know what's happened. He doesn't. He'll never remember this.
Mm-hmm. That's
but of
so
course,
true.
You do everything to see them laugh and stuff. But it is freaky to raise a human that like years on end, they won't recall any of this.
And how was
strange?
My earliest memory is like second grade. So
I don't remember
anything before that. Yeah. And even that one's foggy.
Mine is.
I have foggy memories of being like 14. Like my parents, like, we took you to Hawaii when you're 14. You remember that? I was like, barely, to be honest. Like, we spent a lot of money on that. I was like, I remember like maybe one thing we did. So.
How was the experience of witnessing the birth of your son? Was it what you expected? Was it different? Tell us about that.
I got the most valuable piece of advice from one buddy who's had 4 kids. He just goes, there's some things you'll see you'll never unsee. Just be careful what you look at. All he said.
Wow.
And I was one of those guys who I was, you know, right there with her. She's pushing. I never looked down south.
Wow.
Really?
I was just, I'm kind of like that where I'm like, I queasy easily, gross stuff. I don't, so I was there with her looking right in the eyes, cheering her on. At one point, they're like, he's, you know, he's crowning. He's going, do you want to look down? I was like, I don't know. I'm good. So I just kept my head up. They came out. They set him on her chest. And I, like, if I had to walk around her while they were, like, you know, repairing her, you know, I just kind of put the head down. I didn't cut the cord.
Oh, wow. No. Okay. I know back in the day, they wouldn't even allow dads in the delivery room, which is bonkers to me.
You see those, like, that old viral video? It was floating around somewhere of like interviewing husbands in like the 40s or something, like men and women, like, should a man be present in the delivery room? And both men and women were like, absolutely not. That's between a woman and her child. You know, that's how it used to
be. Kidding.
Or even our dads, I don't know about your, like, our, all this, like, us right now, millennial dads or Gen Z dads, like, they're like, so many of our dads didn't change a single diaper.
Right.
Like, wow. It was just like, yeah, you go to work, you provide, mom's got it. And this is trend, which is a good thing, I think, of much more involved. We're expected to be more involved. Yeah. But
right,
it's wild. How was y'all, I know y'all share a bunch of your birth stories. Were you, yeah, you were in it? You saw everything?
Saw everything.
Yeah. It's not like queasy.
I don't get that way. I just felt horrible for Abby. Because you just see how painful it looks. And I'm like, you are literally like in the most pain of your life right now.
Yeah.
And this is like a beautiful thing. But I'm just like, I feel horrible for you, Matt, that you're
like,
going through this.
Matt talked to dads afterwards. He was like, so how, what, like, you was were my, just yeah, like, was my trauma wife being bonding, dramatic
or no?
Well, I think part of it, her epidural wore off. So I think that made it a lot more painful for her.
I don't know. I think it's just afterwards you were like talking to other dads. You were like, I think it's like you had a little trauma from it.
She got an epidural, but I think we waited too late. So I think she fully dilated without it.
Yeah.
And then got it. And then I think it was too late where they didn't give her a full dose. She kind of like did it all natural. So. But you kind of don't know, too, because you don't know.
No, I've always heard this. Like, people are like, my epidural wore off, or like things, like it wasn't working right. And then they actually do natural labor. And they're like, no, like that was totally different.
But it is sad when you're like,
yeah,
I'd rather do this than you, but this is how it is.
Yeah.
It's funny because I don't look back at it like that. Like, I'm like, sign me up. I'll do it again.
I wish your wife was here to tell us a little bit more, give us more of an inside scoop. I know she's back in KC, right?
Kansas City. It's where we're based.
It's cool that you live there, because my brother one time, he said he was at some coffee shop and like he was like, do you know this like comedian Trey Kennedy? Like, he was just at this coffee. And I'm like, oh, no way. Like, I didn't know he lived in KC.
Your brother lives there?
Yeah, my brother. Or wow. He lives in Phoenix now. But yeah, so we did have family in KC for a little bit.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of
we've been there
a
few times.
Yeah, so he's actually going to go to the comedy show too tonight.
Let's go.
And we're stoked.
Double date.
Yeah, double date.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. The end of the year can be a lot. While it's so fun and joyful, there's still just like so much going on that I have a hard time keeping myself mentally straight. It's like I look forward to the holidays, but sometimes it can also come with anxiety and seasonal blues.
Well, I could see it, like my own mom would get really stressed during the holidays.
Yeah, and then, it's
like,
hard for moms.
And then as a kid, I was like, mom, like it's supposed to be fun. Like, can we just like enjoy it? You know, and I think maybe as moms, if you take more time for yourself to focus on your mental health.
It's a perfect time to start thinking about going into trying therapy, especially with the new year too, enacting new healthy habits and just getting your year off to the right track. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's so convenient because it's entirely online. It's designed to be flexible and suited exactly to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And the great thing is that if it's not working out great with your therapist, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. If you're thinking about giving it a try, might as well try BetterHelp because it is so convenient.
We actually went to a therapist at one point who was 45 minutes away from us. It was such a long drive. So doing it online, virtually, not having to leave the comfort of your own home, that's so convenient.
Especially during this extremely busy season.
Exactly.
So find your bright spot this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unplannedpodcast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unplannedpodcast. Now back to the episode.
How did you meet Katie? How did you meet your wife?
We met on Instagram.
Nice.
Yeah. I've never heard anyone meeting this way, like the way we did on Instagram. It was like purely, I guess it's a God thing if you think like that, or just like, it didn't make sense how we met, but I just saw her on the Explore page. It's very creepy. Zero mutual connections or friends.
Okay.
She was in Atlanta. I'm in Kansas City. I just saw, you know, I'm in my single guy era. I was just shooting shots and I saw a cute girl that looked like we had stuff in common. I just followed her. I didn't think a ton of it. Saw she followed me back. You know, you play the game. Let's go.
Did you have a big following at this time?
I did. I had like this would have all been happening 2017, 18. So I'm approaching 1 million followers on Instagram.
Okay.
And I'm doing it full time. I'm getting going. And she, you know, I'd later learn she had no clue who I was or why I had so many followers, or nor did she really care. But she followed me back, and, you know, long story short, months go by, like each other's photos, DM. We kind of get to messaging, kind of hit it off a little that way. And I was in Atlanta, you know, traveling around like I do, and just asked her out. We went to dinner, and it was one of those, like, met at 5 p.m. We talked until 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Just fun. Knew pretty immediately. Like, I flew back to Atlanta 2 weeks later to see her again, you know, so it didn't get weird. Like, I guess see you in a few months. Or,
yeah,
and
never.
Spent a whole weekend. Just, I mean, it always made sense. So we did long distance Atlanta to Kansas City for a little over a year.
Wow.
Which was, you know, I guess a good challenge, but it sucked. And then she was nice enough to move to Kansas City and got married a year later.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a year of long distance, and then a year of dating in Kansas City, and then you were married.
Yeah.
Okay. Or were you engaged for that year in Kansas City?
We were half of that. So you probably lived in Kansas City 6 or 7 months, and then we got engaged.
Okay.
And then married in 2020. Our big wedding was May of 2020.
I was going to ask, what was that like during COVID?
You talk about bridezilla on another level, Matt. I mean, it was not her fault. She was, of course, she's devastated. It was just like, she's planning the wedding, doing the whole classic thing. Like, I don't, just can't figure out the seating chart. And I was like, I don't care at all. So just, you do your thing. I'm happy with whatever you do. You do it. And COVID might last a few weeks. Or is this going to affect our wedding? I don't know. And then it's funny. It was May. We're like, should we postpone it to August? And I was like, Katie, I thought I was being so smart. I was like, I think we should postpone it into late September to be safe. I'm like, okay. And of course, 2 years later, we finally...
Did you postpone it?
We got married in May of 2020.
Okay.
That was back in the day when it was like, you were only allowed, at least in Kansas City, to have 10 people in a room.
What?
Like the weird... So we had what was actually really beautiful, like intimate.
Yeah.
Just our immediate family. And then we broke the rules and had, you know, 15 people in a row. Oh. It's just weird times. And it was a really nice night. We did a little honeymoon in Arkansas because, like, everything's closed.
Yeah.
And so we just drove to, like, this lake in Arkansas. It just turned out to be...
Hey, we've been to Arkansas for a
beautiful few days.
Norfolk? Did you go to Lake Norfolk?
It was Beaver Lake.
Okay, I haven't heard of that one.
It's up in Northwest Arkansas. It's really beautiful. I mean,
we found a cool
condo. It was great. And then it was May of 2021 when we did, like, the whole planned wedding that we'd postponed three times.
Okay.
I loved it because it was the weight of that day... was not on, like, the party day. We just showed up. We'd been married for a year already. We did the whole ceremony so she could have the experience of walking down the aisle in front of her friends, but just kind of reset the vows and just had a party. Sweet. So
that's really cool.
I thought it was fun.
That is fun.
Got to go out after, you know, because we're good, you know, we're good Christian shelter people. The wedding night's very, very special, very
you're trying to get out of there.
Fancy. And the first, but I'm a big party. I'm like, I mean, trust me. I was like, we have our whole life to do this. I want to have the time of life with her friends. She's like, are you kidding me? She didn't like that. So our our actual wedding night, of course, was really special and intimate. So that was fun too, just like go out with the wedding's over. We just went out, closed the bars down, and we got married in Austin, Texas. It was just the most fun night of my life.
Oh, wow.
Fun.
That's really fun. No, yeah, at our wedding, we were 20 and 21, and we had waited. So
we were so young.
At 9 o'clock, we were out of there. Yeah, 9 p.m. sharp.
That makes sense.
Sharp.
Anyway,
okay,
gotta go.
Changing the subject.
You're so
old now.
What was that?
How old are y'all now?
We are 25 and 24. I'm 25. Abby's 24. How old are you, by the way?
30.
30. Nice. Okay.
30, man.
That's
cool. Not.
Is that exciting?
Is 30 or different?
How does that feel?
Yeah, it is.
Oh no.
I don't know. It did feel it because I think you get creeped up. I feel like when I was 28, there was still this sense of like, I would still go places where, like, college kids were. Like, you can kind of, like, certain people might say, I mean, what are you? You're just out of college? Like, you start 30, I feel like you really, at least me, I know Katie's, of course, like, women go through it too. Like, you do start to look in the mirror and you're like, yeah, I'm for sure 30. I don't look, I don't look like I'm in college. Like, there's definitely some wrinkles happening. The hair is not what it used to be. Some grays start popping. It is weird, man, because we were in Tucson doing a show, which is the home of Arizona University. Uh-huh. And we were leaving the show and see the college kids start rushing the bars. And it's just like, those look like children, dude. Like, that's crazy. And so it's good. Like, I'm excited for my 30s, new whole phase. But it was a little bit of a crisis of...
People tell me all the time that they thought I was in my mid-30s. So I don't even... Really? By the time I'm 30, people are going to think I'm, like, retired.
Well, I think it's... I think it's more because we
are
have
you his
two
mom,
children.
Or what's going on? No.
I'm like, I think it's because we have two children. Like, people are like, you're 24 and have two children? Mm-hmm. Like, what? What?
Yeah.
I think that's more of what it is. I don't think you're right. You definitely do not look 30.
I don't know.
I was actually embarrassed. We were young when we were like engaged and married. So I was like embarrassed. I thought people would like make fun of us for being like crazy young and like stupid for getting married so young, even though we knew. So yeah, that was actually my fear. 4 years ago, is I was like, I don't want people to make fun of me for being a 21-year-old that's married.
Sure.
Because people thought that was weird.
We were in college, literally just like going to our public university, like my husband. I'd just be quiet. I'd be like, my husband.
That's interesting. So yeah, y'all were in college at the same university going to classes like with your husband.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys, how long from meeting to marriage? How long?
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
Okay.
2 years.
Oh, from dating to marriage.
Okay.
Meeting, it was longer.
So I guess, you guys, you know, you're obviously doing it. You're still together. You have kids. Like, there's an element of, sure, like, do we wait 2-3 more years till we graduate? Let's just go ahead.
That's what everybody told us to do. And we were like, no.
Why?
We're going to get married in college.
That's wild.
Funny. Yeah. Well, I'm curious, too. So being someone on social media, it's cool because I think a lot of comedians can make a living now without having to travel. I know back in the day, I feel like all these comedians must have had to travel and be away from their families all the time just to make ends meet. And so now social media has changed that. So I'm curious with the touring aspect, you know, obviously you're not always on tour, but why the tour? Like, is it a cool way to connect with your fans? Is it because you really enjoy it? Is it a big part of how you make money as an entertainer? Like, I'm just curious why the tours?
Good question. Yeah, it's the touring started again right when we were kind of getting engaged and all that. So I was geared up to tour big.
Wow.
My first, I've been doing shows in 2019, writing my show, trying to figure out how to do this live comedy thing. And then in my very first show of the big tour we announced was March 11th, 2020. Which if you, that was like the night where the NBA, I got off stage, it was like trending, like NBA season canceled, MLB kids, like shutting down. And so we got two of those shows done before, you know, literally everything, we had to cancel and postpone.
That was your first tour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dang. But in a ways, I'm really grateful for that because you know, most comedians, they spend years and years trying to get to the point where they can sell tickets. And I'd spent years building this presence where I could immediately sell tickets.
Yeah.
And so in a way I'm grateful for, it's like everything got postponed a year. I just feel like I got obviously more experience, better. I got thrown into these weird situations I had to learn to deal with, like a show where they only allow to be 25% full and everyone wears masks. Like, that's not a fun thing to perform to. How do you deal with that? How do you make sure everyone has a good time? So there's a lot of good experiences with that. And I just couldn't believe I was able to sell tickets and do that. It was a fun challenge. I felt like I had a knack for it, and I was really addicted to getting better at it. And, you know, we were young, we were married, like it was this crazy adventure. We toured the country. She came to every show. She had an amazing job. The first like month of the tour, she would fly out Friday after work and fly home Sunday to meet me for some of it. And very quickly, we're like, man, this, I was like, just quit your job and let's do this. So she quit, came to 60 cities with me. It was just like a really, really fun experience. And it's been a lot of conversation, like, we want to have kids. How do we do this? So we set this tour schedule is a lot less rigorous, where I'm back and forth and I'm home more than I'm not. And, you know, that we're in this weird phase where I think social media influencers, content creators are getting more and more legitimized or respected, and especially comedians. But there's still nothing like live. There's nothing, I think, from everyone's point of view, like, okay, making videos is one thing. Can you do this in this room with all these people here? Mm-hmm. And it's great business. It's great fun. So But I never, I think a lot of people too in my position are like, I just want to get to the point where I can stop making the videos. I'm just doing the shows. But I'll never stop the videos because I could very much foresee a day where I say, you know what? I got a wife and three kids. I'm done with this like being gone thing. I'm just going to wake up, make videos, and never leave.
Yeah.
Like that would be a pretty cool life too. So it's cool. I'm very blessed to have options because you guys know that you've done the podcast. You're doing it. You're diversifying. Like it's nerve wracking being a content creator where you're like, for years, my 100% of my money was brand deals. I was just like praying I'd get an email that McDonald's was to pay me, you know.
I saw your McDonald's ad for the coffee. Let's go. I was like, yay! Shout out, Keurig. That's funny.
So the tickets too is just like a big reassurance of algorithms change, apps get deleted, things. But now I know like I can go into a city and sell tickets. So I have some control over my career a little bit, which is a great feeling. But
Sorry,
I feel like the energy of live performance also too has to be like exhilarating. It's so
fun, yeah.
But also that literally sounds like my worst fear is like having to go up on a stage by myself and make people laugh.
Yeah, it's both.
I mean, has there been times where literally no one's laughing?
Oh, yeah. No, it's never happened to me. Yeah, it has. I was telling someone recently, I feel like just now I'm really like coming into my own. I feel like I know what my audience wants and I'm like really enjoying trying new jokes and it doesn't bother me if jokes don't work, but when you're figuring it out, it's horrifying.
I would literally run away. Oh, how do you recover?
It was I nearly didn't several times, but I don't know how. It's kind of, I mean, it's similar. It hurts a lot more in person, but it's similar when you make a bad video or like you get roasted for a video and you're like, I'm deleting all this. But, and then you somehow keep going. I mean,
right.
I remember the first time I ever truly had like a nightmare. I'd done a dozen sets, you know, it was going fine, but I finally had a horrible night. It was an all black audience and I'd just done an all black audience and done really well. They were high energy. They're fun. They loved me. And so I've done stand up for a few months now and it's always gone okay. So I'm getting too confident. I'm like, I'm not preparing as much. I was like, you know, I was going there and it was this all black audience. So I was kind of like, I see, I'm like, well, these are my people. You know, I make these people laugh.
Oh, no.
You're a comedian.
Yeah. I mean, and I go up there and my opening joke, I make a joke about Queer Eye, which was like huge at that moment.
Yeah.
And nothing. I mean, I quickly realized black people apparently don't watch this show because they looked at me like, queer, what is he talking about? And that was my first experience of saying like a setup and a joke and just getting radio silence. And I just fell apart. I mean, the next 10 minutes, I was just like, and I could tell that they started to laugh like at me. They're like, dude, like this guy's falling apart up here. And I was like, And the next comedian after me, like, opened by making fun of me, and I just left out the back door. I was like, I'm never showing my face.
They made fun of you?
That's what comedians do. Yeah.
Wait, she's like, oh,
that's so mean. Yeah, that's what they do, which I respect, and it needed to happen to help his performance, but yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's what my, and Katie was there at all these supporting me, and I just remember going home. She's like, it's okay. I was like, oh my God.
What?
I'm never going back there again.
Where was this?
It was at a comedy club in Kansas City. I went up there every like, there I would get on these shows to do like a 10-minute spot every week and ask Terry. I mean, willed myself to do it. I don't know why, but it was like, I don't know if I was having fun, but I was like, I just feel like I gotta keep trying this and I don't know.
Hey.
So do you actually enjoy it then?
If no, I'm miserable. No. I do. It's like the simultaneous like conquering this challenge and I do really enjoy it. But there's a lot of doubts still and a lot of, it's just like with any job, but it's just more visceral when you get off stage and you just get in your head. Like I can get a standing ovation and get off stage and be like, did they really think that was that funny? Or and vice versa too. There's times I'm like, I'm hardly going to prepare. I'm hilarious. And then it just, the more you do it, like with videos, like with live, you find your even keeledness to like, I know what I'm good at. I'm going to do my thing. I'm not going to get it too high, too low. Like, just try to provide these people with laughs.
This episode is sponsored by Caraway Home. I feel like a real adult this season because we're hosting Thanksgiving.
Are you going to make the turkey? Because I totally would mess up the turkey.
I'm going to try. Okay. And I feel like I have the perfect set of pans to prepare the perfect meal.
They're really nice. I've been making my eggs every morning on the like fry pan. Yeah. And it's so good. I don't know what material that they got going on, but it's like really, really nice and nothing ever sticks. Like it's probably the best non-stick pan I've ever used.
Yeah. It's non-toxic kitchenware. And what that material is they're talking about is a chemical-free ceramic coating.
Oh, it's so ceramic.
Food can be prepared with peace of mind that no hard-to-pronounce chemicals will get into all of your healthy ingredients. They're also beautiful. We have the green ones with the gold hardware.
Really cute. And they came with stands, too. Like, they go in our cabinets, and there's a little stand that it sits on, and it's so aesthetic.
Because I feel like pots and pans can get so humble-jumbled in your cabinets. Yeah. They have stands for them all. It looks so beautiful inside. And then they have a separate side for all the lids. The most popular product that they have is the ceramic, but they now have a stainless seal cookware set to check out. So if that's something you're interested in, over 50,000 people have raved about Caraway Kitchen. Now it's time to give it a try for yourself. Visit carawayhome.com/unplanned to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. Ooh. This deal is exclusive for our listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/unplanned or use code unplanned at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern.
And now back to the episode. It really shocked me, like, when Robin Williams passed, because, like, I would have thought that guy would have just been the happiest person in the whole entire world, because he was so funny, and he was so entertaining in the movies, and Abby loves the movie Mrs. Doubtfire, which is just hilarious, and so, yeah, how is that as a comedian? Do you find things funny? Or are you, like, so surrounded by comedy all the time that you can't even laugh, because you're just so used to it?
You know, I think a lot about that. I'm just like, stand-up comedians, you know, like, what propelled me to keep doing that when I was like terrified of it and miserable? Mm-hmm. Like, is it good things in me? Is it bad things? Like, am I a psychopath? Why am I? Yeah. And there's a lot of me that thinks that these comedians, especially these stand-ups or Ron Williams, these people that devote their lives to comedy and performing, like, they're often troubled. And why do you want to do this that bad? Yeah. And so I try to examine that, but I feel very lucky. People are shocked. Y'all probably get this a little bit. Like, you live in LA or New York City. I was like, I have no plans to live either of those places. I live in Kansas City. And like, why do you live there? It's like, my people live there. It's close to home. And I have a great wife and I have a great group of friends that I feel like I come home to. And we just joke around as friends do and die laughing. And it just grounds me of like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of successful, famous people. And people in general who, you know, it's just like people are lonely. They don't have ways to laugh just with friends or or to get. So very, very lucky to have like super, super great family and friends that, I think keep me from losing my mind for sure.
Yeah, that's good. I think that my favorite one is when you did the get ready with me.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah, that was kind of a little inspired by you.
Personally called out right now. No.
You're the get ready with me queen. Who made that up?
I actually don't know if I've ever said that, but like I just tell stories while I do my makeup.
But Abby's been doing those for a long time.
Yeah, like, did you make those up?
She was doing them before they were cool. Okay. Well, people had done them before you, but you were one of the first people that was like more of a family creator. to do them, and it's just because you're such a great
I don't think I deserve that credit.
No, you do.
Go off your face and do it right now. Yeah.
No, you literally, you would do them, and you wouldn't even write down a script. You would just talk. Like, you're so talented. You didn't even have to write out a script. You're just so talented, Abby.
Stop right now.
But no, Abby started doing those like 2 years ago before they were even...
The Get Ready With Me ones, and then all your mom ones, I just like love. But I feel like whenever I see them, I'm like, oh man, I can already feel, because I feel like the mom community online can be brutal. Mm. And so I'm like, does he get the mom community riled up, or are they like on your side?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's mostly positive. I feel very lucky that, you know, and you do it long enough. I don't dive into the comments that often, but I think mostly, of course, you see a few crazy comments, people getting fired up about this or that, but I think they're mostly on my side. I'm very fortunate. Yeah.
That's good.
One of your top videos is making fun of baby names. And I was dying because I feel like it's a hot topic of the day. And you were just roasting these baby names. How did you come up with that concept? Because that was 4 years ago and it's still going on.
Yeah. That's what's crazy with social media. You kind of like repost. It's like I have so many new followers that I'll repost videos from 5 years ago and they'll go viral again. It's like people didn't see it. So
wow,
I reposted the one you're talking about, the kind of roll call mm-hmm. where I just read through crazy names. It's like a huge video 5 years ago. I just reposted it. Went viral again because y'all gone viral for some making fun of some baby names. Respect, right? People got after you.
Yes,
that's what's weird because I roast people or like, ah, oh, yes, funny. I don't know why y'all get the bad side of it. I'm supporting.
I have no comment.
She's like, I don't want to talk about it.
No, but with us, we didn't even say a baby name. That's the crazy. We didn't even mention a specific name. It was
you just said the names are too much.
I said the names are getting crazy.
And people in our comments were going a little off. And so then some people got offended by comments in our comment section, which again, like you, we don't read a lot of comments. Like it's
we didn't
damaging.
Even know. And yeah. then it just kind of built.
But
I'm traumatized, so I'm not gonna say
Yeah, was that old thing? You're like, it's okay.
I still get DMs to this day about it.
What is that, a 20-second clip?
It was a clip from
our
podcast.
Maybe 20 seconds.
It was a clip.
Wow. I didn't even say a name. I just said names are getting crazy. So when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, is he getting roasted right now? No.
No, not at all.
What the heck?
So you're like, you want me here to confront me? Screw you. I don't like that. You get away with this? I didn't get away with it. The video I made where I just did the roll call, I went to the Social Security, like U.S. government Social Security website, and they list like the most popular names among the population in the past year. What it was 2017 or whatever, and I just copied it.
Even the spellings?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
So I think that's why it went so viral, because that's like literally the popular names. I wasn't making this up. Everyone knows a Axley and a Clementine and a Journey, and I just copied it, and I just read through it and made jokes.
Any friends who had kids with those names at that time felt a little awkward?
My friends are just now having kids, and I try to tell my friends too, like, listen, I'm just making jokes. Like, right. If you name your kid.
It's not that serious.
Like, I don't. Wait, what?
Did you know?
I did my homework.
Oh my gosh. Dude.
I just wanted to see that reaction.
We got to beep that out. We got to beep that out. We can't
edit that
have
out,
that.
Editor. Edit
we,
that out.
We need to edit that editor. Out. Oh my gosh.
I thought you just randomly did that.
I'm like, how did you
she
know,
she starts crying.
Dude?
Stop.
It's literally
no, you know, if you name your kid. Okay, sorry, I had to. If you name your kid something crazy. I loved y'all. Yours.
I'm sweating. Literally, what's the temperature? 73. Wow.
It's all right.
Okay.
I like that
name. You're going to name your third kid that? Just be like, it's okay. We support it. But if you name your kid something crazy, like my best friend, I'm gonna love your kid. That's fine. You probably know how I feel about it, but it's fine.
We literally have a friend, dude. We have a friend that named their kid, and we fully support it because they have a backstory.
K-I-D?
Yeah, and I'll tell the story because he's told it on his social media a lot. But his brother passed, and his brother's nickname was Kid, and so he wanted to name his son after his brother, which is like really sweet.
There's always a big reason,
and so I thought that was really cool. But then people on the internet were like, "Why the heck are you naming your kid Kid?" It's like, no, it doesn't. Like, we don't care. Like,
if it was someone specific, I would never like be like, "Oh, that name's stupid."
Yeah.
No, and I do have friends who they're like, "We're gonna name him this," and they'll be like, "Trey, is that okay with you?" I'm like, yes, I don't. It is funny. I do a joke on that. You'll see the show tonight. I do a joke about people. They name the kid weird, but they make sure they have a really good explanation for it. So then you're like, well, you can't judge it.
Then
actually,
you're like, I think I can't swallow my words.
Right? I grew up because my family's hilarious and they're like ruthless. My grandma was like the funniest Southern Baptist woman. She just typed like, you get a tattoo, you're dead to me. Like that.
Yeah.
Oh, we went to school in Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah,
we know
you know
the time.
You know. And my sister. She, one of her best friends got a tattoo. You know, they went to the same church. We got a tattoo on her foot. And my grandma was like, what? She got a tattoo? And my sister's like, she got a tattoo. It's because she's commemorating the loss of like this loved one in her life. My grandma was like, that's a lame excuse for a tattoo. She just doubled down. Like, oh.
She just went
respect.
Back in.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, I don't care. I was like, wow.
My sister didn't like that. Honestly, they should be the most feared demographic is the Southern Baptist grandma.
I know. Yeah. They're a dying breed.
That's your grandma. Grandma. We have
that's
to be
my grandma.
We have to be careful. Yeah. Dude, grandmas are unhinged.
She called him a narcissist once.
Oh my
and then
gosh.
We were like, hey, I don't think you mean that. I think you mean like maybe, well, what do we say? We tried to give her a nicer word and she was like, no, narcissist.
Well, this was the first time she saw us film a YouTube video and she thought it was so weird that we were recording ourselves with a camera. And she was
so
like,
she thought it was narcissistic.
That's kind of narcissistic to record yourself.
Not, we probably are actually, yeah.
Honestly. Honestly, it's gotta be there somewhere. But
we're like, we're like getting to know each other before we record. Like, don't talk too much. We need to monetize this. Record it. Save the combo. It is kind of psycho. My grandma was, because she passed a few years ago. She was, she would have been like almost 90. So social media, the phone, I mean, just can't even comprehend it. So they're trying, my parents, I later learned, would try to explain to her behind closed doors, like, Trey's, this is what he's doing. He's doing fine. He can pay his bills. My grand, you know, she's just like, what is he doing with his life? And then so that's a perk too of doing shows. They're like, Grammy, he's selling tickets to a comedy show. Oh. She was like, that makes, you know,
she can
tell her Bible study that. Yeah, right. But she would get in like these nursing homes or like hospitals, and nurses are oftentimes, you know, very similar to us and might be a fan of mine. So it would come up like, you're Trey Kennedy's grandma? They'd be like, cool. And then my grandma, who used to be like, get a job in her last days, every nurse that ever walked in a room was like, do you know Trey Kennedy? That's my grandson. She would ask like a 70-year-old nurse, do you know Trey Kennedy? It's like, she doesn't. She's in the same boat you are. She doesn't have a phone. But she would always say he's a multimedia star.
That's, we're like, that's really, kinda, that's really fine. Sweet.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
That's precious. And that's the same grandma that would get mad if you got tattoos?
Yep.
Do you have any tattoos? She's opinionated.
I don't. I guess she would go. I really have no desire. Maybe it's because they brainwashed me. I shouldn't have them. But I don't. Do you have tattoos?
Any of your siblings? Actually, we do. Should we show them our tattoos?
Why do we
This is like a segment now of our podcast where we show our guests our tattoo. We got a matching tattoo.
You ready? Brings it up.
We don't have to show it at the same time. You show.
Three, two, one. At the same time. They're matching.
Oh, I think y'all posted this.
Yes.
Dude.
It's old news
at
this point.
Is that for the podcast or before?
We got it. No. It was our first merch launch, and we were like, we got to do something crazy to promote our merch. And so we're like, let's get matching lip tattoos.
That's dedicated content creators. Literally. How bad did that hurt?
Not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Because that goes away, right?
Apparently, but it's been like, I was thinking it was going to go.
Like 10 years, but.
Yeah, it's been like 3 years.
It's still here. They said it would go away after like 2 or 3 years, and we still have it.
Just bold as ever.
I think it's 3 years in October.
I forget about it, and I go to the dentist, and they're just like doing work, and I'm like, I get home or later that day.
We got our kid banging on our window.
Yeah,
like,
he's locked outside. No one's watching him out there. They should lock him out like a dog.
So we just put him in the backyard.
Griff, I'll be out there in a little bit, okay? Oh my goodness.
That's pretty cute.
Wow.
No, I don't know. No one in my family. I guess it works. My siblings, cousins, no one has tattoos that I know of.
Wow.
They're just hiding it. They're maybe afraid.
Abby's brother got a big tattoo of David, the statue of David, on his shoulder.
Like bicep.
And Abby's mom was not happy about that.
She still talks about it regularly to him.
And he got another one.
The classic. How are you going to get a job with that? That's so funny. Like, no one cares.
No one cares.
Have fun not getting a job.
I feel like you could have a face tat now and be like,
oh, they'd be like, that's cool.
And be the CEO of like, you know, right. Some crazy.
Like, we need some edgy. Yeah.
speaking of content, you've also, I think you've roasted gender reveals, which I found hilarious. Yeah.
That was also personal.
We've been personally affected by that because we have had two of them.
You got to make great content. Yeah.
But what is it though? Like, what did you, did you guys have a gender reveal for your baby?
We did is the sick part. My wife,
against your better judgment.
Yeah. I should have posted about that. I should have coming clean. We did. She was like, of course. I'm like, we can't. I've like half my career is based off of this. You can't do this. She's like, I just want to cut a cake. Is that big a deal? And of course, you know, logical me. I'm like, that's not that big a deal, but I'm also like, oh my God. So of course we were just hanging out with a few friends, like having dinner, and then just brought the cake out and revealed it was a boy, but we did. It was as chill as it gets, but I still wasn't happy.
You mean you didn't have any poppers?
No poppers.
Dang.
It's very messy. I was with my cousin once. We did the poppers and you have to pick up everything.
You probably haven't been invited to a gender reveal party since.
No, not any one of the big, not any big crazy one. No, probably not. Probably I might like, have really kept a lot of people from doing
like,
it.
Not them.
Yeah. Bro, we saw one. These vlogger people on YouTube literally had drones. Like spell out their, like, it's a boy. And it was like this whole thing. Dude, it's insane.
I'm impressed.
No, but the drones were like the light up ones that they use at the Super Bowl that are like crazy expensive. And it was like a screen like floating in the sky. Like it looked like fire.
It was a 10-minute
show. Right.
I'm like, they must have put in hundreds of thousands of dollars into this gender reveal. I'm like, why? Like, I don't get it. But it was hilarious. It was entertaining.
Matt, yeah, I mean, I guess it'd be a fun party. It's just too much. We're doing too much, man.
It's the gender of your baby.
I started making fun of them like 5 years ago. I feel like they just became like a thing at all. Just like, who cares? And yeah, for some reason, I kind of just followed with it and would kind of make fun of it and became this massive trend. And the people, there's been deaths. People like, you didn't see this? Like, horrible. Like, because they do like explosions and Tannerite. And so like things have gone wrong.
Oh my gosh.
You see, remember that whole like massive wildfire around Labor Day of 2020? I remember because we were like in Utah, just kind of like doing a COVID vacation, just sitting in a cabin, and smoke started coming in. It was started from a gender reveal. Like, could you imagine? Like, it's a girl and you just see the flames.
Yeah, you were there?
At the gender reveal?
Well, no, nearby?
They saw the smoke, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it.
Oh my gosh!
Like a ton of the West Coast, so it like the smoke started pouring into like Salt Lake City. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I didn't realize all that.
Yeah, that's.
So you're just bringing awareness.
Mm-hmm. I'm saving lives.
Hi, I'm doing. I think it's your friend.
Oh, okay. I think it is.
I think your friends are here to record your podcast. Maybe we should
let's
wrap
go.
This up.
That's right. We're gonna have y'all on our podcast.
But
yeah, check it out.
Trey Kennedy, what's next for you, man? Any big plans other than obviously you're touring, you're going all over the country. How many shows do you have left?
Yes. TreyKennedy.com/tour for all the tickets. We just announced some more. So we're gonna tour into May. We probably have, I don't know, 50 more shows or something. But we're trying to get everywhere. So come and see us.
That's super exciting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wow. Well, thank you for coming on here, spilling the tea about baby names and gender reveals. This was fun.
You should roast us some more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Deal. Roast us on your podcast.
Let's maybe. Do it. Yeah. We'll do it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
This is awesome.
Thanks, Trey. Awesome. And as always, this is where we say peace out, dudes.
Okay.
Yeah. As always.
As always. 3, 2, 1. Peace out, dudes.